Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Mom Tales Radio and the Adventures in Parenting. I'm your host, Victoria Loveland Cohen, coming to you live this beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in Chapel Hill. It is kind of a cloudy day, but nonetheless colorful and gorgeous here in Chapel Hill. Today is Tuesday, November 17th, and today I have the privilege of speaking with my special guest today, child educational psychologist Dr. Charlotte Resnick, who is the author of the new book, The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. Right, don't we all want that? Well, she'll be joining us in just a few minutes and share her unique program. She's got these 9 amazing tools for teaching children how to tap into their own powerful imagination to overcome any challenge. But in the meantime, I know that if you're a mom, you are a busy person. I know. And there's absolutely no doubt about it. So it's important to give yourself a hunk of time, you know, just for yourself. Nurture yourself, right? So take this hour and just relax. Kick off your shoes, put up your feet, have a cup of tea, grab your lunch, and just listen. Get inspired and get solutions to your parenting challenges. And don't forget to share your parenting stories at momtales.com. That's www.momtales.com. As I always say, if you're a mom, you've got a story. In fact, you have probably many stories. So don't keep it to yourself. Share it with us. We want to hear your funny moments, your challenging moments, what's worked for you and your family. All right, so take a few minutes and log on to momtales.com and post your story or your cute picture or your amazing YouTube video. We all want to see it. And as always, we invite you to call into the show and share your parenting stories with us on the air and ask questions of our special guest. So the number to call in is 646-381-4313. That's 646-381-4313 is the number to call in. And you can also join us in a chat room here at Mom Tales at Blog Talk Radio and type in your questions. So for now, just sit back, relax, and enjoy. And we're going to welcome in our guest now, Dr. Charlotte Resnick. Charlotte, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, waiting and delighted to be speaking with you.
Oh, we're delighted to have you. Hey, congratulations. I hear that your new book has already reached the LA Times bestseller list.
Yes, we hit the LA Times bestseller list in August. Very happy.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I, for one, am so thrilled reading it. It's just really amazing. Again, the name is The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. And I guess available on Amazon. I think that's where I got it.
Sure, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores, my website, through my website, wherever they want to go, it's
okay.
There.
And your website is imageryforkids.com?
Yes, imageryforkids.com.
Imageryforkids.com. Okay, we'll be talking about that later because I think there's other resources there, too, that parents can go to. So let's just dig right in here. I'd like to first talk about, you know, it does seem that kids today do experience more stress. There seems to be just more for them to try to deal with. I mean, is that in our imagination, or are there actual statistics to back that up?
You know, there actually are actual statistics. Just recently, the American Psychological Association surveyed kids and parents, and it seems like kids are feeling more stress than they have before, than last year, for example, and their parents aren't aware of it. Only a small percentage realize what extreme stress their kids are under. So whatever the perceived stress is, that's what the stress is, because if you feel stressed, you are stressed. And part of it is there's so much coming at kids these days. There's so much information and so much they have to do and learn and is expected of them. And some of it's exciting, all, you know, over the years, the computers mm-hmm. and videos, but it's stressful because they need time to go inside and to kind of regroup and kind of rebalance themselves. And that's what I'm hoping to do with this work.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
like a fun way to kind of regroup and go back inside where they have lots more information.
Right, and the power of their imagination. And I know some research has been done on that as well, as the power of their imagination. And what has been found there about
well,
that?
You know, it's pretty amazing. Pretty much in all areas of concern in life, it's shown that visualization and mental rehearsal and imagery and imagination techniques help. Like, it reduces colds and flu symptoms. You get fewer colds and flu, and that's really important at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Headaches, stomach aches, asthma, reduces symptoms in asthma, and even some of the kids get off medication. Across the board, I mean, health is one area that has been researched a lot because that's where the money is. But certainly we know in sports, every Olympics team, every sports team has a psychologist helping them visualize. I mean, I was touched when I was finishing writing that Michael Phelps won that impossible 8 gold medals. And he said, when everyone thought it couldn't be done, all it took was a little imagination.
That's great. That's true. Do you think he visualized his races as other athletes had done before the event?
Absolutely. That's
yeah.
what they do. They visualize it. There are different ways before it happens and right before it happens, like when they're lying in bed sleeping, going over the moves, whether it's basketball, tennis, swimming, or right before the race or right before the meet.
Uh-huh.
It, and even as they're doing it, they're almost sending the picture. It's like watching a movie at the same time you're doing your activity. There's like a very easy study that your listeners could, you know, hang on to. It was with basketball several years back, and it was shooting from the foul line. They had three groups, and one group shot from the foul line, practiced every day for 20 minutes for 21 days. One group didn't do anything, and one group just visualized. So they visualized. They imagined getting the ball into the hoop. They imagined it kind of hitting and going in rather than out. And you know what happened after 3 weeks?
What?
Well, the group that didn't practice at all, you know, visualization or not, did not improve. But the two groups that practiced and visualized, they improved almost the same, 23% and 24%.
Wow.
So
that's
a wonderful hook if you're trying to, you know, interest your kids who are interested in sports but maybe not interested in getting along with their brother or sister better. You could start them with something they want to learn about, you know, teach them these ideas and techniques and then hook them into, hey, maybe they'll work with your little brother, you know.
Oh, I see. So use these techniques for the area that they really want to do, right? Get
exactly.
better at sports or whatever. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Okay.
I like
okay.
that going in the side door rather than confronting them and going in the front door.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. You mentioned about that, and about sometimes kids will have resistance. And when I first kind of went into it, I thought, well, they'll be so open to imagination because aren't all kids have such fabulous imaginations, and this is going to be fun for them.
Mm-hmm.
But you do mention that sometimes they have resistance. To,
sure.
I guess, trying something new or just doing, maybe feeling like they'd be silly or something. And you mentioned some ideas about how to go around that.
Sure, because you want to make sure you're both have the same agenda. And so if they're motivated, if they want to do better in school, great, we can learn something new. But if they don't really feel like getting along better with their younger brother who's really, you know, a pest, well, then you can't just spring it on them. So you want to start with what they're interested in.
And oh, I see.
Fun. I mean, everyone imagines all the time, from the littlest kid to the oldest adult, because we're always mm-hmm. thinking. There are pictures when we're thinking. Our thoughts are like images. It's going on anyway, so why not use it for the good, to mm-hmm. help you handle whatever challenges are in front of you and just help you reach your potential.
Yeah, yeah, harness that, as you say. Harness it and utilize it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you you tell us a little bit about how you put this whole program together and the different sort of modalities and the background that you had when you came up with this rather unique program and put these elements together. How'd you do that?
Kind of out of desperation, Victoria. I think many good ideas come from desperation.
Yep.
I was working as a psychologist in the inner city of Los Angeles, and those kids were in a very difficult, dark place, and regular counseling techniques just weren't going to cut it with them.
Are you mentioning South Central? I remember you mentioned South Central, and I thought, wow.
Right.
Yeah, that's really brave. Yeah. Okay, go on.
I really wanted something to move their hearts, touch their soul, or really reach them on a deep level, because nothing else is going to do. And, I have a background in art and imagery just because I'm left-handed. When I studied in college before graduate school, it was psychology but also art. So it was a natural, natural inclination for me. And then I was at a conference, and it was a group of people from Paradise Unified School District. I love that name, Paradise. They were using imagery techniques with the kids, and they were going into classes, and they were kind of doing guided imageries. And over the course of a year, they found that the kids' behavior improved, that their test scores went up. All the good stuff got better, and the bad stuff got less. And they had us draw a picture, and then I drew a nothing picture, but then they let us do an evocative imagery with lots of rich language and then draw again, and my picture was so different. So it kind of touched me. So I just started studying and learning and meeting with everyone who had anything to do with imagery. And originally, Carl Symington started the whole big push on imagery with adults with cancer, and there's a lot of research in that area. And so that was sort of when I started, and it was it's been around. Everyone's had imaginations for ages, but it's just sort of pulling things together. At the same time, I started my own meditation practice. So what I was able to do is kind of marry the two ideas of meditation and imagery, and then work with the kids day after day and find out what worked for them. And then over time, develop these very simple 9 tools that will help in most situations.
Mm-hmm. Did you use those tools when you were working with those inner city kids there?
Yes. In fact, I'm just thinking about one girl who I work with. I was going into her fifth grade class, and she tracked me down 10 years later or 8 years later when she was in high school. And she says, I always remember this place you took us. You took us to the top of a mountain of success. And whenever I'm standing in front of the students, I think I'm on that top of that mountain. And that really stayed with her. And, it was just recently, actually, that I was able to create a CD from that idea. But that touched me because I knew that the work was going out and the kids were using it at all ages.
Hmm. Wow, that's great. I want to get this in my kids' school. I want to get this in my kids' school.
Yes, please. I'll train the teachers there.
okay. I'm sorry, you were saying?
Or at least have them buy, have the principal get the books, and you could talk to them about it.
Yeah.
What I was saying was, when you were asking me about putting the program together, because of my background in art, and I find music very healing, and there's a lot of research that shows that, I kind of combine all of this, drawing, writing, music, bringing everything together. So depending on what your child gravitates toward, you could pull out that strength.
I see. Yeah. Now, do you find that there are a particular age group that kind of responds to these techniques better than another?
It's a funny thing. Different ages respond differently. So I've worked with a boy as young as 3 years old, which surprised even me, and he was able to check in with his belly, who said to share with his other friends at preschool, which I thought was great, because even though his mom would tell him or his teacher, it didn't mean anything. But when it came from him, it's kind of, he integrated what he's heard. When it came from him, he really believed it. And as old as the oldest grandparent out there, because grown-ups need tools, too. These are tools for life. They're simple, and they're very adaptable. So they're basically learning how to get in touch with your own wisdom. that old, that part of you that maybe you don't pay attention to, maybe it's a little bit unconscious, but it's there. And I'll tell kids, especially teenagers, look, I don't have your answers, but I'll help you find your answers.
Mm-hmm.
And great way to access them.
Yeah, and you mentioned in there how children learn better when their answers come from themselves, when they learn the techniques themselves. And I think that's really interesting. I think some people would say, well, you know, do we really trust young kids that to know what's best for themselves? And,
well, I do. I trust them because it's not, you know, I'm thinking of a study. This is not even with imagery, but it's like little kids, one-year-old kids, and they put all this food out. And when the kids were free to go to the food, they chose the foods that were healthy for them. So on many levels, they do. Of course, when you're thinking of a two-year-old running out in the street, you know, they're impulsive. They don't know that. But when you sit down and you ask them, what does your special little animal friend say about, you know, being nice to your friends or getting along, you know, playing a preschool, they're going to think of something that probably you've taught them over the years anyway, or they know is a good thing, what feels good to them, what makes sense to them.
Uh-huh. So,
I mean, of course we have to socialize kids, but it's another level we're looking at. We're looking at what can help me fall asleep, what helps me, you know, de-stress myself, how can I get rid of this headache, and all that information is inside.
Yeah, okay. I want to start talking about getting to the meat of your program here and these 9 tools. And you do mention that it's important to sort of kind of have a conversation and find out what's really bothering your child, that might be the first step. And what are some of your ideas of how parents can do that?
Well, if you have a child that's irritable or acting out or you know he or she is unhappy, you want to, before maybe you just tell me if the switch is behavior, find out what's under that anger or unhappiness, because usually it's the top of the iceberg. So you want to be on his side, and you want to let him know that I'm here for you, and together we're going to figure this out. I know this is a hard time right now, but we could do it. And so once your child feels you're on his side, they'd be more likely to be open to something new or different. Like I have a girl that was getting terrible sleep, couldn't fall asleep, wake up in the middle of the night, and her mom just said, hey, you know, this isn't working. You're miserable. You're tired the next day. You can't concentrate. Let's go get some help. You know, we're going to go visit Dr. Charlotte. Her pediatrician had told her about me, and we're going to do this together, and we're going to learn things that are going to help you. And so the little girl was pretty motivated because she didn't like not sleeping, but she didn't know at this point what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they came in together, and we were able to practice some of these tools.
Mm.
And then she was able to learn to put herself to sleep. And, for example, the first one is, I call it the balloon breath, because if you imagine inside your tummy is a balloon about 2 inches below your belly button, and when you breathe in, the belly gets bigger. When you breathe out, it flattens. That's a very calming breath. Physiologically, it's the center of your body, and it could rebalance you. Because when we're upset, we often breathe up shallow, up in our chest, or we tighten our chest. And mm-hmm. this will automatically, you start breathing like this, and you're going to start calming down. You just put your hand right below your belly button and breathe mm-hmm. out slowly and in, and you could just feel it changing. So that's really the first step. It's the first tool, because you need a place and you need a method to calm yourself down to reach that inner work. So that when you ask questions, you're going to a place of calmness and responding rather than reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
go ahead.
No.
I was just going to say that first step I used with my daughter too, who has some anxiety issues, and I did what you mentioned. About putting like the little plush animal on the belly,
yes.
so she could, because she wasn't really kind of getting it at first,
right?
So I did that. I put the plush animal on her belly, and so she could watch it rise as she, you know, took a breath in and then let it drop down as she breathed out. She got it that way. That was very helpful.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and that helped her really. It was so quick, too, to see her go from kind of an anxious state to really in control and relaxed. Very, very simple, but, geez, it was so dramatic, the result there.
Yes. Yes, and then once she starts practicing it, I like to think of doing this almost prophylactically so that you get really good, like when you're practicing for a race, and then when you need it, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
When she becomes in a tense situation, she could then use her balloon breath, because if you just try to do it right away, sometimes, you know, it's harder to access. So you practice, and what I often do is give Dattel, a strip of Dattel to kids, and I have them put a colored dot somewhere that's stressful for them. You know, I make a joke. It could be on their books or their phone or their door or on the forehead of their mom or dad. You know, just the idea of whenever they see it, it's a reminder to take three balloon breaths. And it's another very simple idea but very powerful, because you keep practicing and it becomes part of you. And then when they don't notice that dot anymore, then we just change the color. One girl, in fact, set her watch on vibrate 3 times a day during recess, lunch, and after school, so she could practice her balloon breathing and calm herself down before homework or when she was about to go into a test. So it really worked for her.
Wow, that's great. Yeah.
So, you know, this little girl who was having trouble sleeping, she then created a special place where she felt really happy and peaceful. And it could be a place indoors or outdoors. You put anything you want in it, and you can bring anyone you want there, but with the caveat that if they step through the door, once they step through the door, they love and accept you just the way you are. And that helps if there are any fights with family members or friends and they really still want them in their special place. It kind of gives them a clean slate to start anew with them. And this is a place where they might find gifts to remind them that they are unique, or they might meet their animal friends or wizards, which is the next step. And that what that young girl did was she imagined a giant, giant white dragon, Valkor, that wrapped around her bed and kept her safe at night. And having him there, and having, she also put, I believe, a tiger at the door, she felt much safer to go to sleep. And she was able then to relax her body.
Wow.
And interesting. You know, she was old enough to know that, of course, this is imaginary. And what she said was, we talked about her fears were from the imaginary realm. So she needed help from the imaginary realm.
Her fears were from an imaginary realm.
Right.
You mean she was imagining things that were not really rational, you mean?
Yes. She was afraid someone's going to break in. Now, of course, people do worry about that, but she had an alarm system that was very efficient. So if anyone tried, the alarm would go off.
Uh-huh.
And in her fears, creating this worry, she imagined, well, they would get in anyway and the alarm wouldn't go off. So it wasn't anything real. It wasn't like they had been robbed before or anything like that. And that's where a lot of fears come from. Of course, there are some that are very real fears, but many, a large majority, when kids get scared like that, it's not coming from reality. It's not totally based in reality. So it made sense to her that she had to go into this imaginary realm for help.
I see. Okay. So that's, you're talking about going to the special place.
A special place where she feels safe, but calling in an animal friend that could help her and keep her safe at night so she could fall asleep.
I see. Wow, that's so cool. Yeah, I love the idea about calling in the animal friend, because, you know, most kids, I know certainly mine and most kids that I know, love animals so much. You know, there's this kindred spirit there. They seem to relate to them better than grown-ups do, you know. And
sure.
And that seems so natural for them to imagine an animal coming in to help them with a problem. And I love what you say in there about, by the way, I just want to tell our audience too, in your book, you've got all of these tools are all in a unique section, they're all laid out. The sample script that you have put in there about, you know, how you, the parent, can read these guided imagery techniques for your child while they're with their eyes closed, I imagine, and breathing and doing this. And then there's also, I think you've recorded these on, have you recorded all these on CD that you make?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Okay.
The parents that would rather have someone else's voice or have a studio recording with music behind it, so they have a choice whether they'd like to read it or they'd like the recorded version.
Right, okay. And where can they get those CDs?
Oh, you know, just on my website, imageryforkids.com.
Okay.
They just go to the home page and it clicks into the special shop page. And, in fact, we're having some holiday specials right now coming up.
Oh, good. Okay. You know, I think there's a caller today, so let us see who might be calling in with a question. Hang on just a second. Hello? Someone there? Are you there, caller? Hello, hello? No, I guess we lost them. Okay.
Maybe they'll call.
maybe they'll call back. But anyway, So the parents can do either the script, or they can get your CD that has it already with music in the background. I think that would be a wonderful, relaxing thing to have the music in the background. And then you've got the special place and the meaning of creating a. Now, did they create this imaginary animal out of their imagination? You just sort of open up and have them open up and welcome it in and see who might be coming in?
Yeah, who shows up to help you? Who shows up to help you with your sleeping problem? Who shows up to help you with bedwetting? Who shows up to help you getting along with your mom better? And it could be, sometimes the animals are like very brave. Like the boy who was afraid of going to the doctor and getting these needles, and he brought in a pride of lions to surround him. Or they could be scared like you are. Like sometimes rabbits and deer show up because they really understand what you're going through. So you never know. And sometimes kids make up combinations. One girl had like a dog chicken. One boy had a rainbow lizard. Whatever.
That's imaginative.
one girl had a squirrel show up that had keys, and the reason he had keys is because she was feeling a lot of pressure to be the good sister, and she felt like she had locks all over her body holding in her pressure, and the squirrel that came was able to unlock her locks one by one and free her and release that pressure.
Wow. That is so cool. Wow. That is so amazing. And now you also, one of the ones that you mentioned too that you describe in your book is encountering a personal wizard.
Sure. I mean, wizards have been around forever from, you know, ancient fairy tales, and now with Harry Potter, it's so popular and everybody's really into wizards. So a wizard is a little bit different from an animal friend, because the animal friend is like a loving protector. A wizard's sort of like a master teacher, but has a little bit extra oomph, has that magic part. And, of course, it's in human form. And so I'm thinking about a little boy who was having the darnest time with spelling. He was getting like 27 to 28 errors in a small dictation paragraph, and he was miserable. So he called in a spelling wizard, because you could have a general all-purpose wizard, but a lot of kids have specific wizards. So he had a spelling wizard, and the spelling wizard actually practiced his flashcards with him and cleaned out his brain so he would feel like all the bad thoughts or negative thoughts or, you know, thoughts he can't do it are washed away, and get his brain nice and clean so he could actually learn the spelling words. And his wizard would kind of whisper the words to him and, you know, the correct spelling. And after a few months, his spelling errors kept going down and down and down until it was like down to 3 or 4 from 27, 28.
Wow.
And what it does is it's actually not magic, but it gives him the confidence to stay calm and learn what he can and really practice, and it becomes more fun for him to do the studying.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's so cool. So they would imagine sort of somebody coming in, maybe just like standing in front of them and talking to them, sharing information with them.
Right. Because we'll say, okay, what does he say to you, or what does he give you, or what does he show you that's going to help you solve your problem?
Uh-huh.
So, and like, sometimes one of the tools is gifts from these inner guides. So the gifts are words or actual, you know, concrete gifts in your imagination, of course, that will help you. Like, one boy was having a really hard time with his anger, and so his wizard helped him transform his anger and gave him the gift of color, which is actually another tool. And what he did was his anger was red and in his belly and his gut, and it was really taking up a lot of space. And he had lots of things to be angry about. But he was also frustrated and worried and, you know, scared, and that was all contributing to his anger. And so the gift of color helped him get in touch with his calm feelings, which were blue. And when he breathed in his calm feelings to his anger, it kind of washed over the anger and covered it up. Mm-hmm. Then we tried another thing, because I always like to use two positives for one negative. His feelings of love in his heart were white, and when he breathed that into his anger, it made the anger dissipate and just disappear.
Hmm. Wow. That is so cool. The color thing, yeah.
Yeah, when kids really want to do well or to be better, and they're kind of holding on, this gives them an excuse to let go of it. Well, my wizard helped me do it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned this story I found really fascinating in your book about this little girl, Opal, and she had some trouble because I guess she was bullying other kids, and what I found fascinating about it is that she didn't want to do it, and she couldn't figure out how to change her behavior. And you helped her with these techniques, or she found a wizard or her special friend or her a gift somebody gave her that helped her learn how to change her bullying behavior.
You'll have to keep reminding me about this, because I have to tell you what I have to do when I write. Everyone's names.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm
so
sure you do.
It's all private and confidential.
Of course, I know. Well, she was a bully rather than somebody being bullied. And I could see this from a position of somebody, you know, who's being bullied, and, you know, to make them feel stronger about themselves so they could stand up to a bully. But she was actually she was the aggressor. But she wanted to change it, but she didn't know how to change it. And she learned how, I guess, by inviting in her her wizard, or maybe it was the technique for checking in with your heart and your body that gave her wisdom about what she needed to do to change that behavior, is what I remember reading.
Yes, because one wizard actually showed, or an animal friend actually showed a girl two videos, and she showed her being mean in one video and being nice in another video. And so she got to choose which does she prefer. And if her mom pointed out to her, look, you're being mean, it wouldn't mean anything. But her own little animal friend who shows her these two videos, it was as if it gave her permission to accept what she had done. And coming from herself, it was easier to accept. And then another girl, she just found out that under her anger there was really all these other feelings and where they were in her body. So I really like to have kids not only talk to their heart and belly, which we'll talk about, but to check in with other body parts and find out, well, where is their frustration and what does it have to say? And there was one girl that, maybe this was the red bull you're thinking about. There's a girl who had her anger was like a red bull in her knee. And what happened was she received a potion, a love potion, that when she sprinkled it on the bull, it turned into this quiet, sleepy little cute little blue creature. And she got the love potion, she imagined a filter in her neck, because the bull, the red bull, she said, really protected her from the red bull and other people. And she imagined a filter in her neck, which when her anger angry words came out, they didn't sound so mean. And
huh. Wow.
So, because you don't want to get rid of the anger completely. Sometimes it's really helpful. So that way she was able to put it to sleep and then only bring it out when she really needed it and then bring it out slowly.
I see. Right. Okay. Well, let's go back to this idea of receiving gifts from the inner guides. You talk about that as number five in your
yeah,
list.
Yeah, as we mentioned, gifts could be words, or they could actually be something like a gift to help you, or they could be an idea. Like one animal friend helped a boy dig for treasure. And the idea was, when you dig for treasure, it's very interesting. It's when things are underground, if they're in their unconscious, when they're not aware of it. Like he was having trouble. He was actually bedwetting. And so we're trying to find things that would help him stay dry.
Okay.
And so there was a treasure box underground, and the animal friend helped him dig for it and had all the tools for it. And by how far underground the box is, the treasure box is, I know how far deep into the unconscious the answers are.
Hmm.
So if it's like 2 or 3 feet underground, very close to the surface, very close to awareness. But if it's like 100 feet underground, very deep inside. Because if a lot of our behavior is not conscious, probably 10% of our behavior is conscious and 90% is from the unconscious. We don't know why we do these things. We just do them. So
right.
This is one way to access those kind of generally unconscious reasons. So that, all right, so his box is, say, 10 feet down, which is a bit down but not too far down. And then he gets his animal friend to help dig it out. And then inside is going to be information to help him stay dry. So what happened is there was a book, and when he opened the book, he couldn't read it. The words were invisible. So, okay, no problem. And this is really fun, because this is where you could use your own creativity as a parent. No problem. Let's use that magic light that changes the, you know, lets you see the words.
Uh-huh.
And then the words come up. Oh, but it's in a language I don't understand. No problem. There's a special formula that you drip on it, and it turns it into English. So you work with wherever your child is at.
Yeah. And anything they keep throwing as a monkey wrench in it, you can find a way around it.
Exactly.
So they can get what they're looking for.
Exactly. And then he was able to read the book that told him how to stay dry. And one of the ways was for him to go inside, look at his organs, see if the urethra or the bladder was torn or weak. So we use color to strengthen it, and he sewed up or repaired any holes in it so then it could hold the urine at night. And then we put batteries in. And I learned this early on. You got to use Duracell batteries, because one boy came back 1 week and he said, my batteries went dead. Long-lasting batteries. So the idea is the batteries set off an alarm, are in an alarm clock, so when your bladder gets like halfway full or three-quarters full, the alarm goes off and wakes you up so you know to go to the bathroom and pee and go back to sleep.
That's fun.
So you see, you could have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah. that's great. And so what would you suggest for, like, what technique would work for, you know, a parent who has a child who's, you know, maybe having difficulty with their, either their friends or their siblings. Maybe they're having difficulty making friends, or they're fighting with their brother or sister. Which one of these techniques or combination of would you recommend to a mom like that?
You know, I'd first start out with eliciting their, in a way, cooperation. Like, how would you like it? How is it with your brother now? It's kind of tough, you know. I've noticed that you guys are fighting, or it doesn't seem like so much fun, and then he agrees. You want to ask questions where your child will basically agree with you, and then say, how would you like it to be? How would you like it to be between you and your sister or your brother? And then often, most of the time, they'll say, gosh, I'd like to get along better. So once they say, yes, I'd like to get along better, then that's your hook in. great.
Okay.
So how do you imagine it would be? You know, you could just have them close their eyes or not, and just what is that going to look like when you get along better with your sister? So the language you use, you're already eliciting a positive scenario, not like how can you do it, but basically what it's going to look like when you already get along with your sister.
Oh, I see. Okay.
What's that going to feel like?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to bring in as many senses as you can. And the idea of creating a picture of the future, kind of bringing it into the now a little bit, is then you could take the steps to get there. And I'll often have kids imagine themselves walking on a path. Could be a life path, could be the path to get along better with their sibling. And then what's the first obstacle that comes up? What's the first thing that stops you? You know, and if one child said, oh, my sister was bugging me, annoying me. Okay, so you're at that first obstacle, so that's a good place to call in one of your helpers. Who shows up? Does your wizard show up? Does an animal friend show up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, an animal friend shows up. A squirrel. Great. What does the squirrel do or say to help you reach your goal? So it's their goal, not yours. Your goal of getting along better with your sister. Oh, he tells me to ignore her. Oh, okay. How are you going to do that? Has he suggested you do that? Because parents always say, ignore your sister or ignore your brother.
Mm-hmm.
So they might have integrated and internalized the information you've already told them, but because it's coming through them in the form of their animal friend, for example.
And not your and not the parent who say,
exactly,
you should do this, yeah.
It's not you nagging them. It's them coming up with their own answers.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because, look, after they spend the first 5 years of life with you anyway, they have so much of your values inside them.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to integrate it with their own values as they grow. But this is a good opportunity to do it. Great. So then, all right, you pass that obstacle, keep going along your path. What's your next one? And then you take maybe a few steps and then check with them, you know, however you work it out with them. When's a good time to check in with your animal friend? Will he be there if you need him? Will he be there if your sister bothers you? Can you turn to him? Can you ask him for help?
Mm-hmm.
And they make a plan. They're going to meet up at night. They're going to meet whenever they need to. So it's really teaching your child to connect with themselves inside, but we're doing with fun things to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's more interesting, so that way it's more motivating to them. Because if they start calming themselves with the balloon breath and they're centered, then it's much easier to really check in and know what the right thing to do is with their sister or their friends.
Right.
They really know that generally, because you've been drumming it into their head for so long anyway. They need that. They need to stop and center themselves. Because a lot of that impulsive, angry behavior comes from just reacting rather than connecting. So once just like for parents, you know, you fly off the handle, it's because you didn't get enough sleep or whatever, so you're reacting rather than, let me take a moment and calm myself down.
Mm-hmm.
Let me freeze this through.
Mm-hmm. And again, connect with the child rather than reacting. Yeah.
Right, connect with your heart. I remember this mother and a son were in my office, and she was furious at him because his behavior was so bad. But what I did with them is I sort of did a little double imagination exercise where I had him imagine being all grown up and what it would be like to be a parent, and I had mom go back to being a little kid and how she would like to be treated in that circumstance. And just through that, just sitting there and imagining for each of them, they were really able to feel empathy for each other. And afterwards, much, much better able to communicate. And then we could go, like, how would you like it to be between the two of you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do we do that? And then once they're calm and they're letting their imagination go and realizing that they're very similar, one could be a mom, one could be a little girl, one could be a little boy or a grown-up, then they could say, okay, mom, you know, I'm going to listen. Mom will say, okay, you know, I'm going to stay calm. And is able to start a pattern, a new pattern for them,
to
a new way of solving issues or connecting and communicating.
And so what, were you at that point guiding both the parent into this?
But together, you know, suggesting.
Go into the special place together or something, huh?
Go to your own special place because, you know, at first they weren't too happy with each other. So they went to their own individual special places. Mm-hmm. And imagine what it's like to be a little girl. Imagine what it's like to be a parent and a dad already.
Mm-hmm.
How do you imagine?
Wow. That would really encourage some empathy, huh, from both sides.
Yeah, and that's why it's also important. Another tool is checking with your heart and gut feelings, your belly, because we know for ages people say, listen to your heart, and what does your gut feelings tell you? And that's really now science, neuroscience, is showing that there are a lot of chemicals that are in our brain that are similar to chemicals in our belly or in our heart. So it's as if we have several brains. So we want to connect all of them. The mind is very important and very powerful, but we also want to bring in the wisdom of the heart and the belly to come from a richer place when we're responding.
So I found that fascinating that when you said that there are these brain chemicals inside the intestinal tract.
Yes.
And I immediately thought, well, that's why people say, I just feel it. I don't know, but I just feel it in my gut.
Right. Exactly.
That wisdom in there. Uh-huh.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And so how do you get kids to connect with that and feel that?
We start with a balloon breath, focusing in, and then imagine around their heart center. And I often have them put their hand in the center of their chest about heart level and sort of focus on their heart and imagine what their heart would like them, what their message is today, what the heart would like to say to them. And the same thing with the belly. Maybe put their hand on their belly and see what their belly wants to say. And initially, sometimes it might be a little strange or weird, which is fine because they're not used to talking to those parts of their body. But, you know, they sort of get it. And then their heart will tell them all kinds of things. Love yourself or be nice or, you know, like that three-year-old I work with, his belly said to share. And that was really unusual. It's like mother's mouth dropped open.
Now I don't have to keep telling you that. Your belly is telling you that.
So, yeah, much check with yourself. What does your heart tell you? What does your gut, you know, what does your belly tell you? And I have the kids and parents, too, just take a minute in the morning when you wake up, you know, kind of when it's, if you're not jumping out of bed right away, but you wake up slowly a little bit, just check in. See what your heart and your belly have to say. What's the message for the day?
Mm-hmm.
It's also nice to do as a family.
Yeah, I can imagine. Mm-hmm. I sit around and talk about that, like kind of like you say grace or something before a meal. Maybe everybody can just stop and check in with their heart for a minute.
Right, right.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be great. We have somebody who's on our chat room here, and she's had a few comments about she just realized that her daughter does this sort of naturally, has an animal friend that she calls a bravery cat that helps her do things that are a bit scary or intimidating to her.
Wonderful.
Great.
That's super. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that, brave cat.
And then she also says here, it's great to have a tool I think it's a she, could be a he, it's called Fan of Walt is the person who is writing it. Great to have that tool to use on their own when mom or dad aren't nearby to help bring them back to being centered and a life skill to utilize.
Yes, yes, very important. And that reminded me of sometimes when kids don't like to be separated, like when they're going off to school early on or even at night and having trouble sleeping. I sometimes have them imagine, and we'll practice this in my office, sending love from their heart, like on a beam of light to their mom's heart or dad's heart. What color would it be? You know, it's going to be blue. And then mom will practice or dad will practice, what color love are they sending back to their child from their heart? And it kind of creates a nice imaginary connection, you know, a strong connection with the color beam, you know, of love, and it helps kids feel more secure. And then we'll practice with the mom in another room or dad in another room, and then that way when they're at school, if they're young and having trouble going off, they could have that connection, so it's like they are still connected to mom and dad.
That must make kids feel so secure and good about having, you know, their mom their mom's love with them, taking their mom's love with them. There's a little, isn't there a little book about the of the paw, the palm of the paw, like a little raccoon or something like that. I can't remember what book that was, but I read that to my girls when they were little. And you kiss the raccoon's paw, and then you take that you take that with you to wherever you're going, so that when you look at your palm, you can remember that your mom's love is there.
And you talk about the
Other parts, other body parts, the wisdom in other body parts, like the toes and other things. And I think it's, am I reading this correctly? You said that sometimes when kids have physical pain, I wanted to touch on this too, like headaches and physical pain, that there could be a message in that particular area of the body that's hurting.
Yeah.
That could, you know, be revealed to a child, which would, you know, help that pain dissipate.
Absolutely.
Is that what you were saying?
Yes, absolutely. Because think about it. A lot of our headaches and stomach aches are from stress. Our muscles tense up, our blood vessels shut down, you know, get tight and then expand. And so if that's being caused by some emotional reason, if their pain is caused by an emotional reason, then they could tap into what it is, and so they could help themselves. Like, it especially with stomach aches and headaches, the parent. So not only do we want to release them and send them to a healing pond or bring in color to heal it, but we want to find out what is there to learn? What do I need to know to let go of this pain? What do I need to do? I mean, it could be for headaches, it could be as simple as resting or drinking water, because some headaches are from being dehydrated. But it also could be from our mind working too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids will tell me all sorts of things for what they're learning. You know, not to be so hard on themselves, for example. Or,
yeah.
You know, not to worry so much about school, or to get more rest and go to sleep early. You know, it's a whole range. So if you just stay really calm and do your balloon breath. In fact, I do this three-question exercise with headaches a lot, and you could do it for any kind of pain, is what color is it, what shape is it, and how heavy is it? And so often with headaches, it's red or black and sharp and very heavy, and then we do it in rounds, so they're doing their balloon breathing, calming down in between. And what happens is over time, maybe 3 to 5 minutes is all you need, it changes from that dark red sharp color to rounder and lighter and lighter and smaller and lighter in color and lighter in weight as well. And then sometimes if there's a little bit left, we'll say, what else do I need to know to let go of the rest of the pain? What else do I need to do?
Hmm.
And sometimes I'll bring in that last tool of tapping into energy.
Mm-hmm.
The idea there's energy all around us. And so if a child has a headache, I might put my hand outside 6 inches from away from the side of the headache. And parents could do this very easily and just say, okay, imagine sending the rest of the headache through my hand and it's going to disappear harmlessly.
So the parent puts their own hand over the child's head?
You give it some space, like about 6 inches away.
Okay.
Because if you put it on the head, it kind of presses it back in. But just about 6 inches away and just have your child direct the pain out. It gives them a way to direct it out. And then have them imagine it going through the palm of your hand and out and disappearing.
Huh.
And you could often feel that. In fact, a nice way to feel energy is just when you rub your hands together really fast. Do you remember that little game?
Yeah.
And then you just sort of let it go very gently, very slowly. And then you could almost feel in between. Are you doing that right now? Can you feel that?
I can, yeah. You rub them quickly back and forth together in the palms.
Right.
And then
after 30 seconds or so, just let it go. Let your palms separate very slowly. And you could feel so that energy in between.
Yeah.
So that when you're working with your child, you know, on that kind of level and you have your hand 6 inches away from the headache, you're likely to feel that same kind of a feeling.
And that's something that they can do, too,
to
feel that.
In fact, there was a recent study, a wonderful study that got a lot of attention, kids that had recurrent stomach pain, and through Duke University and University of North Carolina or South Carolina, wherever Chapel Hill is.
Right where we are. UNC,
oh, right,
probably.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Miranda Van Tilburg was the lead investigator, and they found out, which is beautiful. I was thrilled to hear this because I've been doing this for so long. They used imagery, guided imagery, with the kids who had these terrible stomach pains, which other treatments weren't helping. And one of the imageries they used was imagining they were holding sort of some stone, magic stone, in their hands that became warm. So their hands became warm, and then they put it on their bellies, and that made the pain, you know, release. And it's a beautiful image because that's sort of helping the kids doing their own energy work on themselves when their hands get warmed up like that. And they found that the kids that listened to these CDs, because they have a series of them, that their pain dropped, three times as much as the kids that didn't listen to the CDs. And thank goodness, after the study was done, they gave the CDs to the other kids, too, so they wouldn't miss out. So
that was nice of them. Wow, that's great. That's a study that was done here at UNC.
Right here, exactly.
Right in my backyard. And these are your CDs that you're...
For their study, they used they made their own CDs because we just met each other. I spoke to her after I saw that study come out. But one of mine, the Creating a Magical Garden and Healing Pond, that we've used in another pilot study at a couple other children's hospitals. And they used it to reduce pain after surgery. And the kids had less pain and were more relaxed. So the idea of going to a healing pond, in fact, I used it. I had a group once with these kids, and they were all boys, and one had a headache, one had a stomach ache, one had a canker sore. You know, it's like, okay, let's do something to get rid of this. So we created a beautiful garden that was a metaphor for growing healthy. And then while their garden was growing, they kind of lounged around in a healing pond that would wash away all their pains. And when we came out of that guided journey, the headache was gone, the stomach ache was gone, and the canker sore didn't hurt them anymore. And then he went home and he practiced because he made a copy of it as I was speaking. And he said that it reduced it. His canker sore went away in like half the time, in 3 or 4 days instead of 7 or 8 or 9 days. So your mind is very powerful. And we have all these chemicals in our storehouse, in our mind. We have all those feel-good chemicals. We have all those healing chemicals. We're just trying to find a way to release those to help ourselves.
Wow. So again, we just have a few more minutes left, and so I just want to point the listeners in your direction to be able to get the book and read these wonderful imagery tools to their children, to help their children, and your CDs will guide them through it too. So again, the name of the book is The Power of Your Child's Imagination: How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success, by Charlotte Resnick, and that's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and bookstores everywhere?
Yes, if you find your local bookstore, ask for it.
Okay, yeah, definitely ask for it. I find this so helpful, and I'm really looking forward to using more of these tools with my children because I see it happening already. And the case studies that you've mentioned in the book, there were some of them we didn't get a chance to go into, but I really love how you put the technique and then the actual how this had helped a real child when you worked with these techniques with them. I found that so powerful. And also your site, which is imageryforkids.com, where they can get some more information about you, what you do. And do you still see clients privately?
Yes, I do, and I'm happy to consult, you know, across the country or come and speak and train people. And if there's the top 10 things that kids want and need from their parents that they could just sign up for my e-newsletter, and there are lots of articles and information, and from my Psychology Today blog, lots of articles there, too, that they could check out.
Oh, great. So they can find all that on your website.
Yeah.
Oh, terrific. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. It was really a privilege, and I hope our listeners, I know our listeners are totally empowered now to help their children.
I'm thrilled to be here and reach your audience because moms are the best.
That's right. We moms have a very important job to do here, and it's great to have these resources to help support us. All right, so Charlotte, thanks so much for joining us today, and we hope to speak to you soon. I'll be looking out for my blog. I'll blog about the conversation on 411 for parents.
Wonderful.
And we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And so thank you all listeners who joined us today. And again, if you would like to go to www.momtales.com and post your own parenting stories, the challenges that you're having with your children, or what you have tried that's worked for you, or a funny moment or an inspiring moment, we would all us mothers would love to read about that. So again, www.momtales.com, and have a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday afternoon and a wonderful week. Join us 2 weeks from today for another exciting show on Mom Tales Radio, and I'm saying good afternoon for now. Bye.
I'm hanging around, I'm watching.